Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, June 4th, 2015. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here, Jeff.
It's always great to have you here. And it's also great to have Brian Chaffin here as well. How are you, Brian?
I am doing fine. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. And yeah, really glad to hear it. That's always a good thing. Hey, with WWDC, Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, only a couple days away, I thought that we should take a look at some of the news that you covered yesterday, Brian, which is that some of the things that we've been expecting to hear announced may not actually be announced. So what's up with that?
Well, you know, you say been expecting, and I've always been a little bit ambivalent on this one. So the story that the New York Times wrote yesterday was that Apple has decided to pull new Apple TV hardware from WWDC, and that as of a couple of weeks ago, Apple was still planning to introduce it. And behind this problem is content deals. And considering the fact that content has been the bugaboo for Apple rolling out an improved service for a long time, and the fact that we haven't had a lot of leaks from the content side of the industry, I'm not really surprised.
Yeah, I'm not overly surprised either. It seems like there's this rumor leading up to WWDC every year that Apple's going to introduce a new Apple TV. And this time, boy howdy, it's really going to be the time. And then right before the event, then that changes. So I guess we're kind of on schedule for that.
Yeah, I suppose. I think that Apple has been keen to do this stuff. And I do buy into the part of the report that said that that as of 2 weeks ago, Apple was still planning on doing so. So, I mean, there was probably a little bit of smoke behind this, or a little bit of fire behind the smoke. But, like I said, the Apple has just found it difficult to come to get some deals with the studios and the networks. They don't want to get in bed with Apple, and they're terrified of Apple doing it right. And who knows what it's going to. I don't know. We did have the news. CBS, which owns Showtime, announced that Showtime would be available as a standalone service, similar to HBO Now.
They announced that yesterday, right?
Correct. They announced that yesterday, and it was CBS. You know, one of the companies that has been very, very slow to get into bed with Apple, that made this announcement, and it'll be coming out as an Apple TV exclusive first. The first launch button is what they said, just like HBO was with HBO Go.
But HBO Go is what you get right when you're have a cable provider thing, and HBO Now is the subscription that you can pay for. HBO Go has been on Apple TV for a long time, but you had to have a cable subscription. But it's a worthy distinction, right?
It is absolutely worthy distinction.
But with HBO Now, they gave Apple, I believe, a 3-month exclusive with it.
Yes.
Yes.
Whereas I'm guessing that the reason that Showtime announced yesterday and didn't wait and have Apple announce them on Monday is because Apple said, we're not going to announce you.
Yes.
Because you didn't give us a 3-month exclusive like HBO did, or you did and you didn't ask for us to put it in the keynote, so we're not gonna. That would be a stupid move on Apple's part, actually, because
imagine this was because Apple decided yesterday to pull it. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't surprise me if the source for the New York Times was, in fact, someone associated with CBS or Showtime, because they attributed it as sources who had been briefed on the product, and it didn't quite have that controlled leak feel to it. So
Apple it may have been a controlled leak from someone at CBS that they were pissed and said, go tell this But yeah, not from Apple. Yep.
That, not from Apple, but yeah, that's precisely what I meant. And so they decided to announce it this way because Apple's not going to, and there you have it.
Well, maybe if the rest of it is true, right, that the hardware is not coming, that they're holding back on all of it because they don't have all the pieces that they want to announce in one fell swoop. Because as soon as they start announcing things, it potentially they either gain or lose negotiating power with the studios that aren't on board yet, and maybe they're not willing to take that gamble. I don't blame the studios for being very cautious here. I mean, I know that they have a business model that needs to change. I think there's smart people at the studios that understand that. I don't know if everyone there understands that, but I think some people do. But they are standing at the precipice, right? They saw what happened to revenues in the recording industry when they made their deal with Apple, and they are scared. They're probably scared of both things, right? If we do this, we're scared of, you know, immediately losing cable subscriber revenue and all of this other stuff. If we don't do this, well, we're scared of losing out to Netflix and everybody like them.
Yeah, and at the same time, though, Dave, HBO and Showtime in particular going indie, as it were,
yeah,
is, you know, I had a one-line spin in the short story I wrote for Showtime. It's like this is continuing the unraveling of the legacy cable industry, and yeah. And I think that this is the HBO was the first chink in the armor. Showtime is, you know, is the next chink in the armor, and that things are going to probably fall into line for Apple sooner rather than later at this point.
I agree with you. The momentum is going that way. It's to those of us that are customers of this, and even more than that, are, you know, attentive customers to this, we see where this needs to be. But there's a lot of momentum in the other direction, and a lot of fear.
Yeah, but
you know, a lot of money behind.
Part of what they're scared of, where I have no respect for the studios and networks, is that they're scared of Apple taking control of the customer experience because Apple can do the experience correctly and they can't. And that to me is myopic as can be.
The studios have never controlled the customer experience, right? The studios' customers are advertisers. That's it. Right.
True.
The studios, I mean, they're already one step removed because of the cable companies in the middle there. Now,
but what happens?
The cable companies, right?
What happens when Apple controls the customer experience is that Apple also controls the customer data.
And right now there is no customer data. To be fair, I mean, there's survey based, there's panel based research, right? That's true. The over the air stuff, there's survey and panel for cable companies. The cable companies own customer data. How much of that they share with the studios is probably part of the negotiation that the studios are having with Apple. We want insight into the customer data, and Apple is probably saying, yeah, you get absolutely none of that.
Exactly. That's one point.
I can see where that would be a big issue for the studios.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because it really is moving. It's not going the difference between going direct versus going with a partner here. It's going from one partner to another, although all of the studios have the option, and some of them, and they all do this in various ways, of going direct to the customer, right? You can go to CBS.com and watch some stuff. And again, you're at some levels, and it's different with each provider, but you're shackled by who your cable company is and that sort of thing. But maybe they're all sitting there looking at this and saying, do we need Apple? Do we need to give Apple all the keys, or do we launch this on our own and then have Apple say, hey, we want to include you on our platform too? Which is actually a smarter move for the studios if they can make the market happen.
Well, they tried to do that with Hulu.
Why can't they?
Because they suck at that sort of thing.
That's blaming institutional memory and institutional history, which is absolutely correct to blame. But I mean, why? And this is a valid question for almost anything we talk about where companies do stupid things. It's like, why do we assume they're going to continue to do stupid things? Why is it that I am convinced that Apple's music service will fail? Well, it's because they've done it poorly in the past, and Apple's no good at social, and you need social and discovery to make a music service happen, and Apple sucked at both. But that doesn't mean there's not smart people there that could change that, right? And the same is true of the studios. I totally get where you're coming from, that they suck at that. They have sucked at that. They don't have to, though. I mean, they don't have to. Right?
they don't have to, and yet I think that they will continue to do so.
For the same reason that I think Apple's music service will fail.
Except for the fact, here's the big difference.
And I didn't mean to jump topics, but I know I did.
So. Apple has been Apple pulled in the kind of people that it needs to change that. I think Apple recognized that it keeps failing at this.
Yeah, but that's a good point.
Okay, and you're right. I'll see that, but I'll raise it, the fact that in order for a music service to succeed, I believe it needs the two things I mentioned. A good discovery service, which Apple could build and make right, and a good social element. And I think that's the Achilles heel here. Apple does not, they are not in the business of turning their customers into products. And in order for social to work, you have to create a wide open infrastructure, right? I mean, in order, you know, you have to, everybody has to be exposed in order for social to truly work. And Apple does, their whole thing about privacy is that comes first, often at the expense of the customer experience, right? I'm not convinced that they're the right ones. I think their whole foundation of privacy that they have been standing on quite a bit now is going to strangle them when it comes to doing
So fair enough, but grant me this. Between the two institutions, Apple as an institution and the studios and networks as a collective institution, who is most likely to buck past evidence?
Oh, well, Apple has proven that they can't. I mean, I look to their cloud services as evidence of that. So I think it's a draw.
I hadn't thought about it that way, and I'm inclined to agree with you, Dave. I think it may be a draw.
There was a thing on The Verge yesterday, and John Gruber highlighted it quite well on Daring Fireball. It was a piece that Thomas Ricker wrote regarding Tim Cook's recent reconfirmation, very, very strong reconfirmation about Apple's standings on privacy and blah, blah, blah. And Thomas Ricker basically said, that Google Maps is better than Apple Maps. Gmail is better than Apple Mail. Google Drive is better than iCloud. Google Docs is better than iWork. Google Photos can surprise and delight better than Apple Photos. If Apple truly cares about our privacy, then it should stop talking about how important it is and start building superior cloud-based services we want to use. Then it can protect us. And the point is, privacy is great, but it doesn't matter if I'm, because of convenience or because of a feature set, I'm going to choose a different product. The fact that you are the most private doesn't matter to me if your product is second rate. And it's true of many Apple products. Not the hardware, but their cloud services, it's totally true of.
Well, by and large, average customers will choose convenience and features over privacy any day.
But they don't have to. I mean,
but that's what they end up doing.
Right. Apple could build a service as good as Gmail. There's nothing inherent to Gmail that makes it better because it's less private. It just is better. But Apple could build it
Apple
better.
Apple could and should be able to build something that was much better, to be
honest. And the same is true of Maps. The same is true of the whole Photos thing. I mean, the whole cloud photos thing is a disaster now that iCloud Photo Library exists. And, everybody, and I get Apple's standing on this. They say, well, we don't sell you as the customer, so we just expect you to pay for storage. And that's great, except that no one wants to do that. And also, it's a really clunky, weird experience that you can't really manage, and stuff fills up in a weird way, and you're kind of stuck throwing your hands up in the air and saying, I'm just going to get Flickr Uploader and store my cloud photos that way and then manage my photos without this stupid iCloud photo library thing. It can be good, but it's very frustrating to get there. We deal with it all the time on MacGeekGab. It's yet again Apple failing at the cloud. And they will iterate. They've proven time and again that they are a company not afraid to iterate and even abandon things that don't work. But come on, guys. It was okay before. The whole photo stream thing was nice. You know, you had 1,000 photos and you're good, and now this iCloud photo library is a disaster.
Yep. Photo stream, I really enjoyed. I thought it was great. It was my totally brain dead simple, transparent system for ensuring all my photos were in iPhoto without me having to do anything except take pictures.
That's right. And now you've got to think about, well, how big is my entire library and how do I manage this and do I hold my mouth just right? And so, I mean, I know we're jumping all over the place and that's my fault, but.
That's all right. It's a fun ride.
To your point, yeah, sure. To your point, Brian, Apple has also proven ineffective at the things that they've proven ineffective at time and again. So,
right. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I've argued against my own point several times now, so that's good, right?
You have, and that's fine. But that's fine. I have even less faith in the television industry's ability to do new things in ways that we want them to do it. You know, they always make the mistake of doing things the way they want it.
I will ask you, and I'm going to ask myself this question too, because this may change your mind, or it may completely reinforce what you just said, Brian. If you took the apps from CBS, I'm talking the existing iOS apps that are out there that you can go download from CBS, Fox, ABC, NBC, right? If you took those apps and from them, all you did was remove the shackles that are clearly there because of the agreements that those networks have with various cable companies and such that don't allow them to just freely blast their content out. If you removed those shackles, what would those apps look like and how good would they be?
They'd be better.
I think we'd all just be using them and streaming to our Apple TVs over AirPlay with them.
I think so.
So how bad are the networks at doing this versus how restricted are the networks in their legal ability to do it?
Yeah, but, well, I think that some of those restrictions, Dave, are because they want them to. They're all terrified of people, like
yes,
having their content and
yeah,
doing their content
because they're going to make
when they
less
want
money
to do with their content. So
now, you're totally right. Yeah, they don't get to force you. But that I don't know. I think they could do fine.
There's certainly no easy answers here.
No,
for sure. And
no.
This is why I think we would have had this new Apple TV service that Steve Jobs hinted at with Walter Isaacson, right? We would have had this.
You think
two
the
years
service
ago.
Is what he hinted at?
Yes.
I still don't. I think
I'm undecided.
It was a user interface.
Yeah,
revelation.
User interface. That's what I mean. It's the same thing. It's all connected. It's the user interface for the service that Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Yep.
And I think we would have had that 2 years ago if Apple could have gotten the deals together. Maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And that Apple has just been unable to get those deals to happen, and it's because none of this is easy.
Right. Well, it's not easy. It's not. It's a wonder Steve was able to do it with the music industry. But because he did it with the music industry, that's what's making this even harder.
Yeah, no one knew when Apple did it with the music industry, but now there's a history.
You got
well,
it.
Well, not only that, but the music industry was hurting and the television industry is not.
That's right.
That is a massive difference between...
Right. The music industry had seen Napster and it scared the pants off of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then Apple was their knight in shining armor.
essentially. Yeah.
Because they hated.
They hated. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You saved us. I'm so mad at you.
They saved them, but forced them to change their business model far more rapidly than the television and movie studios want to see happen to their model.
And they're making tons of money.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Hey, we're out of time, but there was one question that that I still have, and I'm curious what you guys think. And this comes back to Apple TV not getting an update at WWDC. Do you think that this is an indication that Apple is not planning on opening up Apple TV to third-party developers?
No. I think that's coming on Monday. It's long in the tooth, too.
I agree. And I hope you're right.
Yeah, I think part of that is wishful thinking on my part.
Yeah, Dave. I mean, like, what if that's actually dependent upon more hardware? New hardware with new.
If it's dependent on new hardware, storage. We won't get an announcement about third-party apps. They would have to introduce the new hardware.
It would need to be there's plenty of space on your Apple TV. If all you're doing is storing apps. Apps are pretty lightweight when it comes to storage. Storage of the application itself. I think they would have to be only streaming. You're not like current apps are, right? There's nothing storing data on your device. It's all just a streaming device. So I think there's enough storage there to support. And maybe they say you get to have, 50 apps on your Apple TV. I mean, it's like the watch. The watch is massively limited in terms of storage, but you can install any app you want on there. You don't want to install all the apps, but you can.
But you can.
Yeah, they're pretty lightweight. So I think there'll be something there. Yeah.
All right.
I do. But again, there's a lot of wishful thinking that goes into my resolution there.
I understand, because I have some serious wishful thinking happening too. And hey, we are out of time. So thanks, Dave, thanks, Brian, for joining me today, and thank you for making my job so easy today. Pretty much all I had to do was sit back and enjoy the ride, so that was totally awesome.
Sweet.
Pleasure. And listeners, thank you for joining us as well. If you have any thoughts on what's going to happen with Apple TV and WWDC, let me know. Head on over to Twitter and we'll chat there. Our Twitter address is @TMO Daily. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.